Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Jesus and for you coming down and being in us and allowing us to be around your throne and be a part of your kingdom and to carry the call of Jesus to a lost and dying world. Help us to understand that there are forces out there that will try to stop us that don't want that to happen. There is evil that wants to take everything it can with it to that place where you aren't, thinking that somehow they won't be alone. Help us to convey the message and understand that we're in a struggle against powers that we do not understand, but forces that have been defeated already by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Help us to always be aware, always be vigilant, always be proclaiming the gospel, understanding at times some people will say no. Give us the courage to persevere, not give up, and to always smile and say, Jesus loves you. In his name we pray. Amen. Today we're in the book of Acts, history of God's family. I know you're all getting tired of this, but we'll be done eventually. And then we'll wander around into something else, won't we? It'll probably be the Bible again. What a thought that we would gather every day and open up God's Word and proclaim it one way or the other. Whether it be the history of God's family or the day that Jesus decides to come back. It's in the book. And we will spend our time in the book as we do today in Acts chapter 15. Now, remember, last week we'd kind of gotten to the end of that first big old chapter of going out and telling the entire world. You had this youngster by the name of Paul teams up with this guy, the old seasoned veteran by the name of Barnabas. They grab a guy with him that doesn't last very long and they go out on this missionary journey. And they're sent on this journey not by the church in Jerusalem, not the big head knockers down there, not all the officials there, but these upstart Christians in this town called Antioch. And those are the first Christians that say we need to carry the gospel, literally in this case, across the sea to that island and then from that island to Asia Minor. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pick out a couple of people, and they picked out Barnabas and Paul and they said, go. Now, they're not the ones came up with the idea. Jesus is the one that said, go ye therefore unto all the world. And these men, seeing that need, send these missionaries out. And they go, and they do. And when they return, what they say is, when they come back to the church at Antioch after having spent years away, and we're talking about years away, let me tell you what God did. And they spend their time with this church at Antioch going through the wonderful things that God did. Forget about the beatings. Forget about the nearly being dead and thought they were dead. Forget about the being run out of town and treated meanly and cursed at and abused in all kinds of ways. Let me tell you what God did, and with great signs and wonders, God did all of these great things. And the church at Antioch was uplifted and praised God with them. End of chapter 14. We have this calm, if you will, before the next storm comes. Doesn't take long. We'll take Acts chapter 15 and divide it up over several lessons. It gets pretty thick. I want to put it that way. Rick, you got that? It gets pretty thick. And what I ought to do is I ought to take you through the whole chapter, because it's all one big food fight. But let's take it a chunk at a time so we can chew on it and do our best to digest it one piece at a time. Acts chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. We'll take first 1 through 5, and then we'll do verses 6 through 11, and you'll have to wait for the rest of the food fight next week. Fair enough? You go home and chew on 1 through 11 and see how it sits in your stomach. I think that's fair. So let's get after it. Two parts. Let's begin with verses 1 through 5. If you're in the auditorium, there's some folks listening on the radio didn't hear this. We've already read this part, but we'll read it again. Beginning in verse 1. Then certain individuals came down from Judea Now, came down, if you look up on the map, boy, don't you love the way they use ups and downs? If you look up on the map, it's up there. They're up in Antioch, so they went up to Antioch. But no, the writer says, came down from Judea. Judea is specifically around that area we call Jerusalem. Jerusalem is kind of that place where the church began on the day of Pentecost when Peter got up and told them, you kill the Son of God. And they said, what do we do? And this entire book has been based on that. The response of people when they learn out that they are responsible for killing God's Son. What must I do to be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. Simple. Acts chapter 2 and 38. And the folks did it by the thousands. And it has been 10 years at least, maybe 11, since that day. And so now we find the church beginning to grow, and we've now sent out missionaries, and we've had success in other parts of the world. And Peter has already stood up and said, and been told by God, this is John's favorite part, you can have pulled pork sandwiches. That was Peter, a few chapters before this, opening up the door to those that we call heathen, those that we call Gentiles, those that we call everybody standing in this room and most everybody listening on the radio right now. We're the Gentiles that Peter goes through Cornelius, and we open the door. And now we have Barnabas and we have Paul, and they go out into that Gentile world and they proclaim, you are responsible for the death of the Son of God, but Jesus died for you, and you can put on Jesus. You can be accepted by God. It is not this exclusive covenant just for the Gentile. Oh, excuse me, just for the Jews. It's Jews and Gentiles. It's everybody. And if you'll notice here in a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself. Stop for a second. Let's get the point. Then certain individuals came down from Judea and were teaching the brethren. Are you ready for this? Now you've listened to what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. You've listened to what Peter had to say to Cornelius. How can we refuse if God has chosen that the Spirit would come to the Gentiles? How can we refuse baptism? And they put on Jesus Christ. And you've got Barnabas and you've got Paul going around and telling everyone about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here come these boys 10 or 11 years later. Unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses. Please listen. You cannot be saved. Did you hear that? Day of Pentecost, Peter stands here and he looks at all these Jews. And he says, you are responsible for killing Jesus Christ. And their question was, what must we do to be saved? And the answer was, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And for the last 10, 11 years, or maybe even longer, apostles, disciples have been going all over the world and they have been delivering that message. And not once in any of the conversations that are recorded in the history of God's family do you hear this phrase, unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Somebody decided to backtrack, didn't they? Someone decided to say, well, you have to actually become a Jew in order to be acceptable to God. So Daniel, you're out because you're a Gentile. Because you haven't conformed to the standard that God handed to Moses. Actually, the covenant that started with Abraham. This concept of circumcision, which actually pulls you into God's family. You are out unless you do that. So forget the blood of Jesus. Forget what Jesus has done for you unless you do this. as well. You ain't going to make it. You won't be saved. Now you get how straightforward this is, directly in confrontation with what Peter and Barnabas have been going into the entire world and telling everybody. I want you to think about this for a second. That means, if this is right, that Peter and Barnabas, I said Peter, Paul and Barnabas, Peter too, who've been traveling to places like Cornelius' place. But to Paul and Barnabas, who've just finished this missionary journey, they only got it half right. Everywhere they've gone, they've been wrong. Half sort of kind of okay. But what are they going to have to do? We're going to have to back up here, and we're going to have to find Cornelius. We're going to have to run him down and all of his household, and every one of those males is going to have to be circumcised. Then we're going to have to travel all of Asia Minor, where Paul and Barnabas have been, and we're going to have to go back into those people, and we're going to have to say to them, what you've got to do is you've also got to be circumcised. You have to then abide by the law of Moses. If you're in our Sunday morning class, we're going through that mess. Excuse the phrase, but that mess, that intricate, you got to do this, you got to do that. If you do this, you're in trouble. If you do that, you're in trouble. You got to do it this way. You got to do it that way. If you treat this person bad this way, you're in trouble this way. If you treat them bad this way, you're in trouble this way. And all that stuff, I want to bind on you, and you got to know it. You got to learn it. You got to do it. And if you get it wrong, there is no salvation. Do you see how dangerous and insidious this is? Just one line. Unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved. I'm going to say it in hillbilly Douglas County language. Unless you're a Jew, you ain't got a chance. Period. Verse 2. What do you think Paul's reaction is going to be to this? How do you think Barnabas is going to be with this? Well, now we all got to get along. We all have when we encounter disagreements over God's word, we all just have to get along. We have to accept one another. We have to understand that God's word is pliable, and it might mean that to them. But we can't in any way challenge that at all. Because what we really need is we need to compromise. So here's the opportunity for God to compromise on a subject that is about to explode. So here's God's chance. If what you're being told by all those people out there about Christianity and about religion, and you got to accept Judaism for what Judaism is, and you got to accept Islam for what Islam is, and you got to accept Buddhism for what Buddhism is, and whatever it is the ism that you want to ism in to ism it with, it has to be a compromise with what you believe. That is the only way that religion can work. So now we have God with a chance to just come right out and lay this out there, Don, so you'll be able to understand this, which is being taught hill and far in the hills and in the valleys of this entire world. We all got to get along and just compromise. So here's the chance for the big compromise to come. It's got to be in there, right? So we can't wait to read verse 2 and what follows. Verse 2. And after Paul and Barnabas had had no small dissension and debate with them. You need to get the Greek out and look at that word dissension. Because what it boils down to is thermonuclear war. Paul and Barnabas went with them to the carpet. And the debate means that this group of what we will ultimately know in Galatians chapter 2 as Judaizing teachers who literally have snaked their way into God's family. That's how Paul will describe this particular encounter. And what happens in Jerusalem just a few verses down is a group of vipers who snake their way into God's family with the intent of destroying it. He will describe this encounter In Galatians 2, the entire book of Galatians rolls with this thought in it. But this is the most evil and devious attempt made by the Pharisees to destroy Christianity. So what happens here, Paul and Barnabas, after no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem and discuss this question with the apostles and the elders. Now what you don't get here, unless you look very, very closely, is that these men who came up from Judea are pretending like they are authorized by the elders and the apostles down in Jerusalem to come talk to them. They're lying. They're coming up here and they're saying, well, we were sent up here by the elders and we were sent up here by the apostles and we've come up here to lay this thing out straight for you. Now, Barnabas and Paul, they know better than that. But these poor folks up here in Antioch, they don't know that. They have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. They have grown. They have become liberal in their desire. There's a good word for you. Liberal in their desire to spread the gospel to a lost and dying world. They're the ones that raised up the money to help the church down in Jerusalem. They've done all kinds of great things. They've sent out these missionaries, and now they're being told they think by the leaders, that's the apostles and the elders of the church in Jerusalem, where Christianity started. You ain't getting the whole story. And so they say to Paul and Barnabas and a couple of other guys to go with them, and the name Titus comes to mind if you go read in Galatians chapter 2. Go down there and let's get this thing sorted out because we really don't know. Now you imagine, you're a member of the church in Antioch. You talk about just being completely messed up. You're completely messed up right now because you don't know what to believe. Do you? This is real. This is what happened. Verse 3. So they went. They were sent on their way by the church and they passed through. This is Paul and Barnabas and those folks that came with them. And they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, and they reported the conversion of the Gentiles. They told people as they were going. By the way, it's a 300-mile journey. Look it up on the map. And they went over to the seaside, and they went down the seaside because the terrain was tough to get through. If you were going from Jerusalem up to Antioch, they traveled 300 miles. And in the midst of this 300-mile journey, they stop off at these places where the gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached. And everywhere, they come into congregations, and the first thing they say, let us tell you what God has done in Asia Minor. The Gentiles have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And as they go to each one of these congregations, their response is exactly the same response that you had at the church at Antioch. When Paul and Barnabas got back, there was rejoicing that the word of Jesus Christ was being received by the Gentiles. They were accepting it. Don't you see what God is doing? Don't you see why Satan is so worried? Because now as they go back to that and they start reporting to these other churches, the other churches now have confidence that what's going on is right and good. God is blessing this effort. And they rejoiced in these towns. Verse 4. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders. Whoa! Wait a minute. Paul and Barnabas, the ones who'd been doing this bad stuff, the ones that had been half teaching the truth, the ones that had gone out into all the world and dared to bring the Gentiles in and not force those Gentiles into becoming Jews. Somebody comes in this room that we know is a reprobate that is doing terrible and nasty things against Christianity. Someone comes into this room that we know is here to destroy us and do bad things. We might not have a real welcome, 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 welcome. Come on in. Now, I don't know if we're going to get in trouble for that or not, but I want you to be real about this. If the church in Jerusalem had sent those folks up there to do this job, Guess what? When Paul and Barnabas got down there, the first thing they'd have done is taken them over in the corner and chewed on them. You would. It's not what happened. Read it. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. Just what you thought, wasn't it? The gospel of Jesus Christ started in Jerusalem. Peter himself, who is one of those folks that's there in Jerusalem, had been told by God, you can eat pulled pork sandwiches. Go over there and see that Gentile and talk to that Gentile and preach Jesus Christ to that Gentile. And that's all you do. His death, his burial, his resurrection. See that he's baptized. Not a word about circumcision. And Peter had done that. And that opened the door for what now Paul and Barnabas and the church in Antioch are doing. And the gospel is being spread into that Gentile world. There's not a man there in that congregation in any kind of a leadership role, any of the apostles, any of the elders that are saying anything else. And here comes Paul and Barnabas, and they are just so glad that these guys have returned because they've heard good reports. But, verse 5, this is right after Paul and Barnabas are welcomed and tell you, let me tell you what God has done in Asia Minor. But some of the believers, now catch this word, because these people had put on Jesus Christ. These people had been baptized. These people had said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They had accepted that part of the gospel, which, by the way, is the gospel. But we go on. But some believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees. Who did Jesus go toe to toe with? Time after time after time after time. Starts with a P, has an H in it, and an R, and an S, and a couple of E's. And at the end, you're going to put an S. The Pharisees. Who combined with another group to make certain that he was hung on a cross and he died. It was the sect of the Pharisees that pulled the strings to make it all happen. And now some of those have peeled off, have put on Jesus, and now find themselves in what they call Christianity, and they carry the precepts of the Pharisees with them into the room. Listen what it says. But some believers who belong to the sect of the Pharisees, the writer specifically names that group. Because we know who they are. We know where they came from. We know what they taught. And they are now back. They are now in God's family. And brothers and sisters, they're teaching the same thing. You gotta keep the law. You have to be circumcised. You have to be a Jew. It is necessary, they say, for them to be circumcised and ordered to keep the law. John, I know you've been baptized, but if you are not circumcised and follow every kit and caboodle of the law of Moses, you're going to hell. You get that, Nancy? You have to follow the law of Moses to the nth degree, or you're going to hell. The only way to find salvation back there, Rick, is to be a Jew. Even though you're Gentile, we'll forget that part. But you got to keep the law or you're going to hell. I'm not making this up. You cannot be saved unless you keep the law of Moses, is what they're saying. Meeting one is done. And now, after a short pause, and we don't know if it was a day or two or more. Verse 6. And the apostles and the elders met together to consider this matter. Now, that's a pretty big upset, folks. I mean, these guys have walked into the congregation and they've raised their hands after they get, you have this real good gathering. Everybody's happy. They can't wait to see Paul and Barnabas. They're tickled to death they're there. They hear their report. Everybody stand around smiling, saying this is great. And then 4, 5, 6 boys, I don't know how many, stand up and say, wait a minute. Unless you keep the law of Moses, you are lost. And you have to be circumcised. Time out. And that's what happens. Verse 6. The apostles and the elders met together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate. Now I wonder who's debating. Might be all of the people in the room. It might be Paul and Barnabas. It certainly is this bunch who've carried this thought into the congregation, isn't it? And after much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, I want you to stop for just a second or two. Who could you think of that might be best to begin what will be 3 arguments made by God? This is the first. Now we're going to stop after it. Who would you pick out maybe to be one of the best guys to have stand up and begin the conversation? Well, let's think about it for a minute. God says, I want you to go up to Jerusalem. I'm going to send you the Spirit. And it'll be up there where we're going to start God's family. And that particular assignment falls on this boy by the name of Peter. And on the day of Pentecost, he stands up and he tells them the story of the history of God's law. How that God will come and dwell in their hearts. How that David's seed is coming and he will be on the throne. And it's not David he's talking about, it's somebody else. And that somebody else's name is Jesus Christ. And that somebody else's name, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. And that somebody else's name, Jesus Christ, is the guy that you killed. And that you're responsible for putting him on that cross. And now you are facing God and God says to you, you killed my son. That's to the Jews he's talking now. And they are so taken aback and shocked, they say, what must we do? The answer, we've already been through. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Number one, if you are a Jew, you heard the man that brought the gospel to the Jews. His name is Peter, the one that denied Jesus 3 times. And God, for some odd, strange reason, called on that same boy, John, to say, it's okay to eat pulled pork sandwiches. And he opened the gospel up to the Gentiles. And the first boy to stand up at this meeting is that man, Peter. Not because he's super holy. Not because we want to make him the Pope, but he's the guy that said to the Gentiles, it's okay to come in. And he's the guy that said to the Jews, you killed God's son and God is not happy with you. Here's what he said. Peter stood up and said to them, my brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that I should be the one through whom the Gentiles would hear the message of the good news and believers. He just said what I just said. Smart man, isn't he? He's following up on me. That was a joke. He said exactly what God did. God picked on me. Verse 8, and God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. God picked me to go find the Gentiles. And then God gave them his Spirit. And that is God's given Spirit, just like the Spirit that God gave to us. Notice who is doing this. It's not Peter. It's not Paul. It's not Barnabas. It is God who is doing this. This is God's decision. This isn't yours. God picked me to go talk to the Gentiles. God picked me to come talk to you. And in each case, it was God saying, I will pour my Spirit out upon you. It is God's decision, not yours. Okay? It is God's choice. And in cleansing their hearts, let's read verse 8. And God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He did to us. And in cleansing their hearts by, here you go. It's got to be circumcision, right? In cleansing their hearts by faith, He has made no distinction between them and us. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? That is our statement of faith. That is our statement of belief in what Jesus was able to do for us. Has nothing to do with us being circumcised, does it? And in cleansing their hearts by faith, He made no distinction between them and us. Verse 10. Now therefore, He's going to ask them a question. Why are you? This is almost as frightening as Acts chapter 2. Peter has a way with words. Unique, perhaps, in all of the Bible. Of course, he's blessed by God, isn't he? Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test? I want to state this real simply. He looks at him and says, you see, who you're having this argument with isn't me. It's not Barnabas. It's not Paul. It's not going to be James. It's not John. It's not any of these guys that you're wanting to pick a fight with. Who you're wanting to pick a fight with is the guy who decided that he'd give his Spirit to the Gentiles. It's the guy who decided he would give his Spirit to the Jews. You're trying to pick a fight with God Almighty in heaven. And Peter just comes right out and says, you are trying to pick a fight with God. Read it again. And in cleansing their hearts by faith, He, that is God, has made no distinction between them and us. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we were able to bear? We could not keep the law of Moses. We failed, and God knew it. And why are you trying to place that burden on the necks of all the other people in the world when you couldn't do it yourself? Boy, he gets down to it. Verse 11. Now listen to this, because here's your chance for compromise. Here's your chance to say, well, you guys are okay. You can go ahead and believe in circumcision. Go ahead and accept the law. That's right. You want to live that way, that's okay. Even though I just said you can't do it. You can't get it right. And you know you can't get it right. Here he says, the compromise of all compromises. On the contrary, we believe. Here it comes. Statement of compromise. We believe that circumcision is okay for those that want to be circumcised. We believe that Jesus Christ is okay for those that want to have Jesus Christ. We believe that believing in Muhammad is okay for those that want to believe in Muhammad. Here is your chance to fill in the blank. This is a knockdown, drag-out fight. This is round one. Peter's doing it. You're going to get Paul and Barnabas in round two, and there's this boy that you just never would think would come from anywhere that will end it up. Not because his decision is final, but he's going to put the period on the talk. Those two are next week. On the contrary, verse 11, we believe that we shall be saved So we are now talking about salvation, aren't we? You want to be saved? You want to be saved from hell? You want to be saved from being separated from God? That's what we're talking about. So here's the chance for God to let everybody in that He wants to let in. Boy, this is it, isn't it? We ought to have a drum roll. We ought to have a big band playing in the background. We ought to have lights. We ought to have all that stuff. Because here it comes. On the contrary, we believe that we shall be saved through the grace. That means the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as they will. Without Jesus, you will not be saved. And it is only Jesus that will save you. I'm not making that up. This argument is whether or not you bind some other law on Christians. Specifically, the law of Moses. Specifically, circumcision. Specifically, God says, I chose another way. And that way is the grace, the gift of my Son, Jesus Christ. Do not be surprised. This is precisely what God has been saying from the beginning of time. This is exactly what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. This is the same message delivered by Peter to Cornelius. This is the same gospel that Paul and Barnabas have been preaching to a lost and dying world on the other side of the ocean or sea. This is the truth. This is what God wants. This is round one. And the argument is just getting warmed up. And the people who are listening are now silenced. Next week. Nothing's changed here, has it? You don't stand a chance. Please listen. You do not stand a chance without the love of Jesus Christ. There is no hope for you if you seek salvation from some other avenue, because it's not there. There is only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. Those are the words of Jesus Himself. Jesus says, come, all who are carrying burdens, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lay your yoke upon me, because I will carry it for you. The cross of Jesus, the answer to a lost and dying world. And yet Satan says, don't listen. Just get along. Just get along. Have you put on Jesus? Have you come to the conclusion that without Him you're lost? Will you stop listening to Satan and put on Jesus as we stand and sing?